$41 million last year, including grants to women in developing nations and small business projects here. That sum would be impressive, except for two little hickeys on it. First, the foundation spends an unseemly amount on slick videos and PR efforts to extol Goldman's new generosity, diverting the charity from altruism to corporate promotion. One Goldman banker who's appalled at the self-promotion said of the charity, "It's run as if it's a Broadway show." Second, $241 million sounds like a lot until you see that the financial empire's income last year topped $34 billion. Do the math, and it turns out that these bankers with a heart of gold actually allocated an underwhelming 0.7% of Goldman's income to its widely ballyhooed beneficence. This is Jim Hightower saying, how pathetic. Even poor people put these multimillionaires to shame, regularly donating 3.2% of their meager incomes to charity. Trying to buy redemption on the cheap is just another Wall Street scam.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
This is WHFR, Dearborn. Hello and welcome to another edition of the... Jim Hightower, he just loves to talk, and so do we here. This is the new WHFR Journal, and today is Friday, November the 8th, 2013. It's Jay Kronick with you, joined in the studio by our co-host today, WHFR staff member John Conroy. Hi, John.
Hello, Jay.
Okay, so we can almost hear you. I'll get your volume up a little bit here. John filled in for me, I guess. Dennis Reimars did the show last week, and I thank them very much for that. We are here with the election special. That's right. Not only will you find out, in case you haven't found out, who won the local elections in Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, and a few others. We got the results from a few others locally. But how did those millage proposals go? And you say, well, I kind of know what the results were. Yeah, we're also going to give some opinions. Oh, my gosh. I've got lots of opinions, let me tell you. And, you know, you may agree or disagree. Just remember that all opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College. Okay? But we thank them very much for allowing that to happen. Okay, well, let's not keep you in suspense if you really don't know, and I can summarize this later for you. Pretty much all the incumbents got reelected. So there you go. That's all the millages passed. Okay, so there you go. Show will end early today, folks. We took care of that. now, there are a couple exceptions, and some downriver mayoral races lost.
Yes, and Lincoln Park, the incumbent, Diaz Krause, was beaten. The only incumbent, I believe, that had lost in the entire area.
Okay. You said Ecorse, though, maybe.
Ecorse also. Yes. Yeah. Okay. The mayor of Ecorse.
Although that in the results on the website didn't indicate that either candidate for Ecorse mayor was an incumbent. I don't know how that happens, but you believe that the incumbent lost there too. So, and we don't know the stories on those, and if you live downriver, I'm sure you should find out, because it's very, very unusual. Any incumbent, even if they've claimed to have smoked crack when they were in a stupor, a drunken stupor, will ever get unelected. And there are some reasons for that, I guess. They don't make sense to me, but there are some reasons why that might happen, not necessarily a rationale for it to happen that way. Mm-hmm. All right. In Dearborn, of course, here we go. John B. O'Reilly Jr. reelected with 80%, almost 81% of the vote over Edward Binkley, who got about 18%. City clerk. And let me just start by saying I like the percentages. I I like to read those rather than the big numbers because nobody can remember the numbers anyway. But registered voters in Dearborn, almost a little bit over 61,000. Now, out of 98,000 people in Dearborn that live here, that includes the kids, that's a lot of registered voters.
A very good percentage.
Yeah. I mean, there's only 30,000 kids. I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but... Well, unfortunately, though, folks, only 18,520, or 30%, voted. Now, that's very, very good. Morris Goodman did an editorial in last Sunday's Press and Guide, and he said, look, folks, we got to prove that, you know, we're a democracy here, or at least a representative one, and anything less than 18% turnout of registered voters is really terrible. Now, I can't remember, I can't think that if there's 61,000 plus registered voters in Dearborn out of 98,000 population, or maybe it's over 100,000 now, but still, that's almost all the adults are Yes. registered. That's amazing if that's true. But still, there's a few more adults that aren't registered, and therefore they couldn't vote. Nonetheless, the turnout in Dearborn was over 30%, okay? And that's just over 30%. And that's wonderful. Still, I have to say, 70% didn't vote. Not only is that a majority, a vast majority, but think of the difference in the outcome of the election they could have caused. I mean, we're not just talking about 3 or 4% more voters. We're talking about the other 70%. We're talking about 2.5 times more people did not vote than voted. So if any of you out there are just listening to this show because, you know, we're like the distaff side. We give opinions that aren't always in the mainstream about Dearborn here. And not because, you know, we want to or that we're trying to find it. I'm just saying we're trying to give a spectrum of opinions here. And I'm just saying if you have any problem with the outcome of last Tuesday's election for mayor or city council or the millages here in Dearborn, did you vote? And did you try to get the other 2.5 times registered voters in Dearborn to actually go and vote themselves? I mean, with that many people not voting, who knows what the result might have been if all those people did decide to vote. Perhaps a lot of them don't care, but and maybe they don't even know who's running, in which case, it's luck of the draw. I mean... nonetheless, I bet the outcomes would have changed radically. So 30%, is that good? No, I'm sorry, Morris. It's good in America for a non-election year, a non-presidential election year, to be 30%. But give me a break here. You know, it's not even a good representative democracy showing unless I think you have more than a majority. More than 50% are registered voters, and I would assume almost every adult is registered. Or there's another, you know, irony and crime right there that, why aren't people registered to at least have the chance to vote? So but anyway, of the people voting, over 80% voted for John B. O'Reilly Jr., so he's going to continue as mayor. Kathleen Buda, as city clerk, got a little over 75% of the vote. And the city council race. And these are the top seven that won. Susan DeBaggia, there's a surprise there. And I'll explain after I go down the list. Tom Tefelsky, Mike Cerini, Brian O'Connell, David Bozzi, Robert Abraham, and Mark C. Shushanian. So the five incumbents, Tefelsky, O'Donnell, Bozzi, Abraham, and Shushanian, did win. They came in the top seven, and so they're going to be returned. The two newcomers, if you will, Susan DeBaggia and Mike Cerini, however, were also endorsed on a, if you will, a slate and many mailings. I must have got 4 or 5 mailings and many ads in newspapers and elsewhere by Mayor O'Reilly. Okay? I mean, it was quite clear that they asked for his support and he gave them his support. Now, of course, Mike Cerini was no doubt helped because his last name is the same as his mother's, who was also on the council. And everybody should know, and we're not doing anything negative towards Mike here, but if you have name recognition, it's almost as good as people knowing who you are. That's right. Even if you or some other Sereni from California had no connection to Suzanne Sereni, you'd probably be reelected in Dearborn. Okay? I mean, I know there would be a lot of, it might be close, but that name recognition means so much, even a person who's not related to the person you think they are, or who isn't the person you think they are, can still usually get elected. That's too bad. That's because of uneducated voters or people voting quickly without thinking through or looking at the first name in some cases. But there you go. So in effect, and this is where some people may be upset, all of the policies of the Dearborn City Council for the last 2 years and the mayor's office have been supported by the voters, no doubt. The mayor, city clerk, and all the people that got elected to Dearborn City Council were all endorsed by Mayor O'Reilly. And you say, well, you know, was there that many people running? Yeah, there were seven people that didn't get elected. Okay, out of 14, folks. We had a full slate there of 14. And Susan DiBaggia came out as the top vote getter out of the seven by 32 votes. So she's going to be the new, if you will, chairperson, master of ceremonies, whatever, and it's called the council president, of the Dearborn City Council. So for the first time in, I don't know how many years, 6 years, 8 years, Tom Tefelsky is not going to be in charge of orchestrating the meeting. And of course, a chairperson can do that. They can recognize people, they can cut discussions short, they make rulings about parliamentary procedure. That's a lot of power, and I thought Tom was very good at that. I thought he wielded power pretty fairly. Some people may disagree with some of his decisions, but I thought he was pretty good at being that so-called, as I say, master of ceremonies. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, how much did he miss? There's a lesson here. Only by 32 votes. 32 votes. And it must be embarrassing because Susan DiBaggia did not have that name recognition. She had the endorsement of Mayor O'Reilly, and she had a lot of flyers, a lot of mailings, a lot of yard signs, but so did Tarek Beydoun, who came in ninth, at least in the east side of Dearborn, where I live. And, the other people that were running had fewer mailings, fewer ads in the paper, and almost no yard signs. And we talked to, on this show, we talked to the challengers, and we talked to Patrick Melton and Tarek Beydoun, Sharon Dumage, Kristen Taylor, Jane O'Hearn, Colette Richards, and Stephen Dubkowski Jr., a relative of mine by my first marriage. And, of course, in this case, the WHFR bumped them down, I guess. It didn't happen for them. But that doesn't matter. We're here to let you have a chance to find out what the challengers have to say. And if there is a new idea there, if there's a different kind of personality or different kinds of experience, then you had your chance, voters of Dearborn, but you elected, I won't say but really, but it's true, you chose all of those people endorsed by Mayor O'Reilly, and apparently you love the mayor, at least, compared to the person running against him. I mean, maybe it was just, who knows, if Tefelsky ran against Mayor O'Reilly, he probably would have got more votes than Edward Binkley, and no, I'm not disrespecting Mr. Binkley. I'm just saying Tefelsky's been out there. He's been elected several times. He had a better chance to get more votes. Would he have won? I don't know, but he would have gotten a lot more. So one reason O'Reilly did get 81% is because he did not have what they call in politics a real challenger. Yes, Mr. Binkley is real, but in political sense, if you don't have name recognition from and prior elective success, then you're probably not going to get many votes. Also, if you've run before and been elected before, it's easier to raise money. Mm-hmm. And with more money, you get more advertising, and you get more chance to be out there in front of people's faces, yard signs and so on, newspaper ads. There's no doubt about the influence of money in politics. If you don't have the money, you're not going to get elected. I have to make this comment now, John, and I know you're just sitting there nodding your head, but I'd like to see any of the Dearborn papers do something investigative. I know it takes time, folks. Who's got time, right? But when the reports are submitted to the state of Michigan about the money donated for these campaigns and how it was spent and who gave the money, I want to see that in the paper. Because they always say follow the money if you're trying to figure out why things happen the way it does, and especially in politics. Where did all the money come from Mike Serini? Okay, who actually gave him all that money? He was one of the best Ford salesmen in Michigan for many years. Has he been saving up? Didn't know he was independently wealthy. And Susan DiBaggio, no name recognition, first time out there. Where did her money come from? She's got a nice family. She's a lawyer, and her husband, I think, has a profession, whether he's a lawyer too, I can't remember right now, but I mean, they're both employed. But all the mailings I got, did they go to the whole city, or did they only go to the east side of town? You know, where sometimes they target areas they think they're going to get a better response from. They're not going to send mailings to an area that probably wouldn't consider you, and if you can figure that out. I mean, it's just, well, I must have got at least 8 flyers before the primary and before the final election from Serini and DiBaggio. Close to that, 6 to 8 from each of them. Now, I know that these 5x8 cards are larger, glossy printing, color, plus the postage, it's expensive. It can be as much for the whole city of Dearborn, $30,000 for one mailing. So where did these 6 or 8 mailings come from? Now, of course, there was a couple mailings that had Mayor O'Reilly and all of his endorsees all on the same card. Was that all from his campaign funds, or did the individuals contribute? In which case, how could they afford that? Where did all this money? I've never, and I've talked to other people in Dearborn, never seen this much advertising, and it's direct mail is probably the most effective in Dearborn. The newspaper ads help, of course, and there I've seen a ton of those for the last month from the usual suspects, that is the people that have already won, that have now won. So that's the big question here. I want to know, whose pocket are they going to be in? Oh, they can say no, but then they won't get money for their next election if they don't sort of do what those people who gave them money to help them advertise, to help them win, say they should do. This is the influence of money in politics, folks, and now I thought it wouldn't get down to the local level. I thought we were more innocent or more honest. But nobody can afford this kind of advertising unless they're independently wealthy. That is a millionaire or more already. And so that raises the question here, whose side are they on? Big business? Big business makes a lot of profit. Hey, corporations are people too, according to Mitt Romney and according to the Supreme Court of the U.S. So what corporations have contributed here? Or, if you want to put it in a negative way, have bought them out. And how will they vote in the future? I'm just saying, think about it. But especially think about Susan DiBaggio, that is now the new consul president in Dearborn, by 32 votes. Initially reported she didn't win, and then I had absentee ballots, or they were kept counting, make it official. She finally won by 32 votes. And I do know, because somehow I got on her email list, and I got 2 emails from her or her campaign in the last 2 hours of the election Tuesday. 2 emails in the last 2 hours saying, we're really close. How did they know? How did they? Did they peek in the ballot boxes early? But they said, we're really close now. How did they know? She'd never run before. She shouldn't have been close at all. But she said there's still, I think the last one was 28 minutes to go, get to the polls.
Wow.
Well, it didn't hurt, obviously. I mean, I don't know if that was the factor. But how many young people were following her emails? Was she tweeting also? Was she on Facebook? Somebody did a great job with her campaign. Good advice, first of all. And we didn't get to meet her here, even though she was a challenger in WHFR Journal. She said she'd be here a couple times, but she's very busy with her day job. Which is being a full-time lawyer. And we understand, I guess. It didn't make a difference. Didn't make a difference to anybody that was on this show this time around. Although Brian C. O'Donnell, before he won the last time, not this time, but the last time was his first time winning, and he was here. So being on the show doesn't hurt, folks. And definitely a challenge for Dennis Reimar as our WHFR news director. Get Susan DeBaggia here sometime soon before she's, I don't think they're sworn in to the end of December or in January to the new job. So maybe she has some free time and could talk to us. Obviously, some things she wouldn't want to talk about, that is, who gave money. But it's going to be out there eventually. How did they decide in that campaign? I mean, as a college teacher and even a semi-political scientist, non-practicing political, I'd like to know, because whatever she did, it worked well. No other candidate did I get as many emails from. So if the young people are voting in Dearborn, then so be it. The other thing I have to say about Susan DeBaggia, and John is just nodding his head here.
Oh, I do have one thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me say this. Mm-hmm. She's the only woman on the new city council. Of course, there's only two there before, Nancy Hubbard and Suzanne Serini. So, Jay's deduction here. Women who were voting, very likely they'll vote for Susan DeBaggia. Now, okay, there was one, two, three, four women who were challengers also. But out of the five of them, again, Susan DeBaggia, she really got her name out there. You know, yard signs, mailings. And because she was a woman, if you vote for all the other recommended people, you might just say, well, I don't know any of these other challengers, but I've seen Susan's name, and she's recommended by the mayor, so let's vote for her. But there's only one woman there, folks. Do we need more women? Do women see things in a way different than men? Well, culturally, I'd say yes. Practically speaking, why should they? I mean, they're just people too, right? Just like corporations. Here's the other thing. How many other women were Arab Americans or identifiable, at least by the last name, as being Arab American heritage? None. So if you were an Arab American woman and voting in Dearborn, then, you know, just because here's another woman and she's an Arab American woman, I would think you'd want to support her. I would think you especially would want to support her. Now, I don't know, John, if you saw the Free Press story, and I know you have a comment here. Go ahead with your comment.
Jay, I was just going to say that increased use of social media, as mentioned by you, you were getting emails right up until just about election time.
Yeah.
Those certainly are attracting younger voters, I would say. And the push to get younger voters is going to be to the obvious advancement of the Susan.
Because they're going to be around in the future probably to vote for her again.
Certainly, yes.
Yeah, if they stay part of the system, and let's hope they do. Congratulations to all the winners, and no disrespect for winning. I don't see how you can. Personally, of course, where are the new ideas? Okay. Are there any new ideas here? No. There was a great ad in the campaign ad in last Sunday's Press and Guide. Supposedly all the candidates contributed it. It says, vote November 5th for Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. and join him in electing proven leaders. It's on page 3A. And, of course, it's all the people that won. Now, for each of them, there is a wonderfully well-written summary of how great each of them are, including DeBaggia and Serini. And, of course, I read this as a, you know, intelligent, critical thinker. I wouldn't vote for any one of these people because there's no specifics. They're all a credit to their families. They've all really been great in the city. And they're nice people. Now, I'm hopelessly paraphrasing it and summarizing them. Not one specific other than David Bozzi, who has a $50 million corporation that he owns, and that corporation pays $400,000 every year in city taxes. Well, that's very nice, Dave, but what about all the tax rebate money that Dearborn's already given you and is still continuing? a total of $46 million of tax rebates, if I've got that correct. So don't say you're paying $400,000. That's nice. We'll take it. Thank you very much. But that's not your fair share, according to the way the tax code is set up. Oh, I know it's fair if the city says it's fair. You know, they give tax breaks to Ford Motor Company and Severstal and so on. But in fact, did you vote on your own tax breaks, Dave? I would think you shouldn't. But, you know, in a corporation that big asking for tax breaks, I don't even think their president should be on our city council. I'm sorry, Dave. We interviewed you here. You seem like a nice person. But that's just how I feel. I mean, if you're part of the council, part of the good buddies on the council, you're going to keep getting tax breaks, I think, because you're always threatening, well, we could go somewhere else. Just like Ford Motor did once. Yeah, this is true. 25 years ago, they said, well, we don't need the world headquarters here, you know. Henry Ford the first died. I mean, it was circulated. It was not from their PR person. It wasn't official. But the word went out. You know, you either give us massive tax breaks, and this was back in the 60s, I believe, or we'll just go somewhere else. Downtown Detroit, or we'll go, you know, Tennessee or something. So, you know, big corporations, it's bottom line, folks. There's no support of the community. So, oh, they gave us money for the center. They gave money for centers all over the place, in Chicago, St. Louis. It's all publicity, folks. They could have given all that money to Dearborn. No, they gave it to Chicago and St. Louis and Flat Rock and all these other places just to get their name over the door. So don't tell me that was all public-spirited money. It was for publicity in the long run. You know, we can't even call it the Dearborn Center. No, it's the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. You know, we can add the word Dearborn before or after it somewhere as an afterthought, but we can't call it the Dearborn Center, not in anything official. It's the Ford, and that's what $10 million will buy you. You know, but don't say that they've been that good to us. There's a lot of taxes that other people have been paying, small businesses, and they're not paying their fair share. Nor is Bazzi's company, nor is Severstal. And I've said on the show many times over the years, that's not right. You know, that big companies can play this kind of blackmail game across the country. Because they can just up and move and get rebates for relocating, and the other community suffers for lack of taxes, but they get a few jobs tossed in they didn't have before for 20, 30 years. And, hey, you either pay your fair share or you don't. That's the way I see it, okay? And a big company with big profits, and Ford has big profits, you know, they're not paying their fair share. And so, but nonetheless, that's the only specific, okay, on this great ad. And who wrote these? Well, the same person, because the language, the style of all of these six vignettes are, it's the same person that wrote that. And as a critical thinker, I would not vote for one of them because of this ad. Why? It basically says, we don't rock the boat. Mayor O'Reilly is supporting us. And we've done good things. We'll keep doing good things, just like you always know we've done. So it's like total, no change, no new ideas, middle of the road, business as usual. Not that business as usual is bad, okay? But to me, things can always be better, okay? We could be more efficient. We could be more energy efficient. We could run the city for less money. We could. I know Mayor O'Reilly has always said he's trying to do things that way. You know, save money, save budgets as best you can. But there's bigger new ideas. There's been bigger ones around for years, and many of the challengers had those ideas and, you know, didn't pick up traction, as they say. Didn't get the word out. And again, in these difficult times, I guess it's better to vote for a known quantity than an unknown. I guess there's that people will, that's why we've said at the start of the show, it's almost always incumbents that will get reelected. Yep. Okay. So how can you answer that, John? Can't. Let's let me finish the point. Go ahead. You answer. You had your mouth open. So.
Well, I just wanted to say it's easy to print the soft bio type notes and not put in the issue related answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's.
But it's very comforting. I mean, those people seem, oh, that's so feel good. How could you not vote for those people?
Right.
But specifically, what have they done and what are they going to do new Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing new.
Everybody likes everybody, and it's all good, and vote for us, and it'll still be all good, I guess. And that's not true. It can't be true, okay? That's not the way the world works. Okay, in Dearborn, of course, we had three millage proposals, two for HFCC, and they passed overwhelmingly. So on behalf of Henry Ford Community College, thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
Thank you very much, yes. Dearborn School millage, almost $76 million. Still just replacing a couple millages that have already expired. So it's not really a change in money for the taxpayers in Dearborn, but it's going to be directed now to fix in those 50-plus buildings. And we're talking about roofs and ceilings and floors and electrical and heating, cooling, desperately in need. And so thank you very much for the Dearborn Public Schools. 69% almost, over 31, 69% said yes on that. Henry Ford Community College. Well, we asked for, first of all, a combined renewal of two previous mills. And, you know, they were already there, which were expiring. 72% almost said yes to that. Thank you very much. And the second proposal is it's one of those makeup millage proposals. In other words, the city of Dearborn did one like this. Dearborn Heights did one like this for the city. And that is, the cities have lost a lot of money since 2008 because of property values going down, and that's the basis for collecting the money to run the city and run the schools. Okay, so just like those other millages were approved, this one was approved for Henry Ford Community College just for 5 years, just like the city of Dearborn got one for 5 years. Supposedly in by, you know, 5 years' time, the property values, which are inching up now, I wish they'd be going by the foot or the yard, but they're inching up. And I live in a house that in 2006 was worth a lot of money, and now it's worth just over 50% of that. You know, that was going to be my retirement. I don't know, Florida or Paris or something. You know, that, oh, that's enough to get a really nice start somewhere else. Yeah, I'm still in Dearborn, and other people, you know. Couldn't even afford the mortgage after their jobs went up in the air. But anyway, so the makeup proposal for just 5 years for Henry Ford Community College was approved by 61% of those voting. So thank you very much on that. That shouldn't be necessary, you know, in 5 years. Despite some last-minute negative campaigning in the Press and Guide, it was read last week, if you remember, you and Dennis.
Yes, we did.
Talked about the editorial. Very fair-minded. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Read almost every word of the negative article that was in the paper. Of course, I was thinking as I was listening at home, who is this guy? What does he know about Henry Ford Community College? Sure. I mean, I have to say, nobody wants to pay more taxes if they don't have to. I mean, even theoretically more taxes. Okay, but he was blaming all of the, you know, problems we had. We had a big deficit going into April of this year, this recently, $16 million.
Yes.
But that was the previous administration here, previous president. And we did a lot of good things around the campus. I mean, the money was pretty well spent here, as Dennis said. We got a lot of good new buildings and new environmentally sound parking lots and runoff drainage areas, which will hold us. I mean, the campus is fully developed now, folks. I don't think they can squeeze another building anywhere here unless they build on top of something. And it's good because people out there want a good education. We were overloaded for a couple of years. Now we're doing fine because there are a couple fewer students right now, but not a lot. But President Jensen came in. He renegotiated contracts, the teachers, the staff, they gave up money, they gave up benefits. He fired 14 administrators, well, laid them off. 14, okay. I didn't know he had that many minutes, but we did. And his own vice presidents and himself took pay cuts on top of it. And sure, they had to raise tuition. We're still the second cheapest higher ed institution in Michigan, I believe. The budget's balanced, at least by January it will be. But we still can't survive because we don't have enough money coming in, and that's why we had these millages, including the makeup one. Now, because of that, we're good to go. We're good to go. So thank you so much. I mean, I've only been here 45 years as a teacher. I know the inside workings of the budget and administration and the faculty. This is a good place, folks. Okay? I know that's not being humble. But this is a very good higher ed institution. And isn't it wonderful that it's right here in Dearborn and so reasonable, so low cost? And I thought we ended this. I believe I read, and I've been gone a couple of weeks, that free tuition for Dearborn residents, seniors. So you got to be a senior. But free tuition for Dearborn seniors. And guess what? Free tuition for those kids in the Henry Ford College, early college. So if they're in high school and they qualify in their junior year, they can get classes here, even more in their senior year. They can get a two-year degree from Henry Ford Community College by just one more year and at no extra charge to the school, to themselves. So they get a two-year HFCC degree mixed right in with their high school work in 3 years. What a deal. Now, you got to qualify. You got to be ready for college work starting your junior year, so you can't fool around in your freshman and sophomore year. But, oh my gosh, you know, qualify, folks. What a wonderful deal. And then Dearborn seniors, free tuition on credit classes. I know you've always wanted to take calculus out there, folks, right? Yeah. Well, whatever it is, I came back after I retired, I took an astronomy class, basic astronomy class. I found out I knew more than I should have, because I read a lot about astronomy. And I was always asking questions, and then when the teacher didn't know, I would take out my iPhone and look it up online and then tell the teacher the right answer. It was very embarrassing for them. I apologize to that teacher if they're listening. You know, it's great. John, you came back to Henry Ford Community College and took our staff training class.
What a great opportunity for young and old, and for myself especially. I'm also retired and always wanted to find out what radio broadcasting was all about. Mm-hmm. Took the TCM 189, and here I am.
Oh, my gosh, you're doing it. Complete the story here. Winter registration is going on here at HFCC now, and
yes,
tell us a little bit.
The winter 2014 schedule will be available online within WebAdvisor beginning October 14th.
Yeah, and right now.
It's already happening.
Go there, yeah.
Please visit hfcc.edu/webadadvisor. Click on search for sections in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. A login is not required to search. And as we said, registration is already open since midnight of October 28th. Mm-hmm. Last day of regular registration is January 12th, 2014.
Because?
The last day of late registration is January 9th, 2014.
Right. And that's because classes start.
Winter classes, yes.
On Monday, the 13th.
January 13th.
We don't allow people to enroll after the classes have started. That's been our policy the last couple of years. Why? Because you miss a class or two. You don't get off on the right footing. You know, you're not getting a full value for your money either. I mean, if you're paying tuition money or going in debt with a loan, you do want the full educational experience, I assume. You do want the maximum bang for your bucks, since you don't have many bucks. So just remember, circle your calendars. Monday, the 13th of January, is too late. Okay, and if you're not admitted already, you'll have to go through that procedure, come to the campus in person, the Welcome Center, which is a cool little building just north of our north parking lot here on the Evergreen campus, just south of Ford Road. And if you have the right documentation with you, you can enroll in about an hour or so, be admitted in an hour or so. But they need ID, and they need to know you are you, and so on. But you can choose your classes in advance, day, time, content, prereq. You can explore a lot of those things online yourself right now. So if you're not a current student, you can still go to hfcc.edu, WebAdvisor, okay, and look up the winter 2014 semester, and that's the one that starts January 13th. So, you know, obviously the best choices are available now. Plan ahead, avoid the rush, holiday rush, and so on. That's what we recommend, and hope you can come over here. It's a great place, and even John says so.
Please take advantage of that great opportunity. It is a very good place. I've been real pleased to be a part of this institution.
Let's take a break with the other Jim Hightower informational spot that didn't play at the start of the hour. This one talks about too few people controlling our society. And you can take your guess about who those people might be. Here's Jim Hightower.
Sometimes it pays just to go away. You could ask Jim Skinner about that. He was CEO of the hamburger behemoth McDonald's, pulling down a hefty $8.8 million in pay. Last year, though, Skinner retired, and rather than getting a gold watch, he was given a load of gold, so large that even a Brinks armored truck would have been too small to haul it all away. His salary of $753,000 was the least of it. The Big Mac chain also served up $1.7 million to the chief in stock and $3 million in option awards. Then it slathered on another $10.2 million in retirement pay. All that was topped by a super-rich dessert, $11.6 million in incentive pay. What? Why does a guy with millions already on his food tray need any incentive to do his job? Maybe because Skinner found it hard to stomach the biggest part of his job, which was to pay poverty wages to McDonald's 800,000 workers, shove thousands of them onto food stamps and other programs paid for by taxpayers, and lobby aggressively to prevent any increases in minimum wage or any tax hikes on uber-rich elites like him. It's dirty work, but Skinner did it, finally skipping away with a 2012 pay package totaling $27.7 million. Yet, in the phantasmagoric plutocracy of corporate land, too much is not enough. Last year, for the first time ever, the 10 highest-paid CEOs in America hauled in at least $100 million each, even as the great majority of workaday families have lost income. This is Jim Hightower saying, this gaping and ever-widening inequality is the greatest threat to our society's cohesion. Too few people now control an unconscionable and untenable share of America's money and power, using it to grab more of both for themselves.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
And we're back with more of the WHFR Journal for Friday, November the 8th. Jay Koronik and John Conroy here with you, going over the election results and giving you our opinions. Look out. The opinions expressed in the show are not necessarily those of anyone at Henry Ford Community College. Let me just go back to the fact that not only did Susan DeBaggia, a newcomer for Dearborn City Council, win, but she was an Arab American, and she's the new council president, okay, because she got more votes than Tom Tafelsky. And we talked about reasons why. But the Free Press, Detroit Free Press, rushed a story, and it went out to the across the country. Arab Americans win majority on the Dearborn City Council. Ooh, booga booga. You know what the assumption is there among some media, and I don't know anybody that's gotten it wrong, but, you know, there was a rumor last week, it was in the paper last week, in fact, buried in the back, is that, and it was from a humor newspaper, okay, a newspaper that does ironic humor, satire on a regular basis. I always think of The Onion. You know about The Onion, John? Okay, it's online as well, but it's publication. It doesn't distribute in the Detroit area. I don't know why. It's a national newspaper. Looks like a newspaper. But all the stories are exaggerated satire. So, I mean, there you got pictures, and it looks almost like a real newspaper. And it's a hoot. It's, you know, like Mad Magazine satire, but it looks like a real newspaper. Well, this, whatever the humorous newspaper was 2 weeks ago, they put in this, that Dearborn is now under Sharia law. Okay, which we are not, and Mayor Riley had to make big-time statements. We're not under Sharia law, never have been. But now that we have a majority of Arab Americans, 4 out of 7, on the Dearborn City Council, all look out, somebody's going to say Sharia law. Now that's, again, specific number of regulations that are part of some Muslim faith, there's a lot of different Muslim sects. It's not just Shiite and Sunni, but there's actually even Shia has something like 12 different sects, different beliefs, sort of like the Protestant Christians. How many different Protestant churches are there? You know, except this is like all under Muslim and under Shia, okay? And, well, I just want to say, first of all, I'm sitting there dumbfounded when I heard Craig Folley on his show this week repeat this. Oh, they got four Arab Americans now. They got a majority in the Dearborn City Council. What will that mean? Because I'm thinking, who the heck are they? I mean, I know Dabaja is pretty well identified during her campaign and elsewhere as an Arab American. Who are the others? And I'm sorry, I didn't realize, I had to look this up, but Mike Cerini is a Muslim, okay? His mother, I guess, was Muslim. I thought Cerini was, oh, I'm sorry, it's terrible, Italian. You know, the name ends in I. And I'm sorry, I didn't know he was Muslim. And then who are the other two? Okay, David Bazzi. I guess I should have realized that. A lot of people with the last name Bazzi in Dearborn are Arab American, and he is too. And Robert Abraham, Bob Abraham. Abraham, how Christian can you get? I mean, how biblically either Jewish or Christian, right there in the Bible, right? One of the people in the Bible, Abraham. Abraham and Isaac, which didn't turn out too well for either one of them in that story. But nonetheless, even with the name of Abraham, it turns out that they're all of Arab descent. But, oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. David Bazzi is Arab American, but he's Christian. Okay? He's Christian, and Bob Abraham are Christian. Okay, even though they're of Arab descent. And that's I thought, was interesting. In fact, overall, I had to research this a little bit. All four of these folks, Dabaja, Mike Cerini, and David Bazzi and Robert Abraham, are all of Lebanese background. So, you know, what part of the Middle East was their Arab lineage from? All from the country of Lebanon. And in Lebanon, I happen to know this, because there was a big civil war there, between Muslims and Christians. That's gone on for like 40 years, that there's been on and off significant, terrible carnage between Christians and Muslims in Lebanon. And in fact, 30% of Lebanese are Muslim, yeah, or Christian. Well, anyway, what I'm saying is it's a division there, and it's caused, a lot of immigration to this country. Just because of the civil wars going on in Lebanon, a lot of people wanted to get out of there, Christian and Muslim, for their own lives and their safety of their families. And it's just interesting that they're all of Lebanese descent. Okay, I thought that was interesting. So of the two that are Muslims, Cerini and Dabaja, they're Shiite or Shia Muslims. Okay, interestingly, out of the whole world of Muslims, only 10 to 20% are Shia or Shiite. Okay, but interestingly, in Iran, and we love Iran, right? Well, in Iraq, about, I think the number was 60 to 65% are Shia. And in Iran, 90 to 95%. So if you wanted a comfortable place to practice your kind of Muslim religion, that is the Shia or Shiite religion, I'm not sure about the difference in the spellings or the pronunciation, but it's the same thing we're talking about here. I'm fairly sure of that, and no disrespect here. But 90 to 95% of all the Muslims in Iran, and they're probably not all Muslims, of course, but are Shia Muslims. Of course, I have to back off this. After I did this research, I'm saying, why did I do this? Shame on me. What do I care what religion they are? Why should I care? I want to know, are they good people? Are they intelligent? Are they doing good things? And what good things are they planning to do? Shame on me. You know, I'm telling myself, Koronik, talking to myself here, you know, shame on you. You did all this research and you're a big teacher doing research and so on. Who cares? Who should care? I mean, should the free press care? Why would they even report that? Ooh, Arab American majority in Dearborn. Already 40% of Dearborn is Arab American in population, 40%. So it's only right and logical that after 30, 40 years, we'd start having some Arab American people running for office and winning. That's only logical, folks. That's better than luck of the draw. That's guaranteed, you know. So excuse me, Free Press, although the story was written, it looks like, I don't know, I can't identify, Niraj Waraku. Well, that doesn't sound Arab American. But why write that unless there is a question about, ooh, what will this Muslim majority, and it's not, they're not all Muslims. They're Arab Americans. Two are Christian, two are Muslim. Hopefully they left the Civil War of Lebanon back home, you know, that they're not, you know, and they're all good people. So why do we care? Why should the story go out even? It's just a simple fact. Okay. So, okay, I'm beyond that. I've made my conscience feel better. Here's a couple of quickie stories about Dearborn that aren't directly elected to the election. Dearborn Times Herald from last week, Wednesday, 2 days ago on the 6th. Art Space, the people that we hope will be able to buy City Hall, the old City Hall, and make it into a wonderful studio, residences for artists and galleries, business opportunity there, and preserve the exterior as an historic building, too. They are awaiting a grant decision from the Michigan State Housing Development Authority, also known as MSHDA. We should know within a few days or weeks. They're supposed to know by sometime this November. And here it is, November. However, if they don't get it this time, they can apply again. John, you were telling me that there was a grant down in Gros Isle. Not to the same people, but in Recreation Department applied, and what happened there?
Certainly, our Recreation Director applied for a grant to have for paving of parking lot due to the long time that it's been since it's been paved, and it cost a great deal of money. And in order to get the grant properly, we went through the ADA process to get that.
Mm-hmm. That's the Disability Act.
Yeah, Americans with Disability Act. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how many times did it take to resubmit? Because it was turned down a few times.
It was turned down. He resubmitted it. I know he resubmitted it twice. The third time was the charm.
Okay. And maybe he made changes, and if there were some criticisms about you forgot to say this or that, or, you know. But that's how you do with resubmission. You don't usually just submit it the same way exactly. Maybe you add something or there's some updated information.
Enhance what he'd already said or change a question or two. Yes.
It's a big story there because, obviously, if ArtSpace does not get this huge grant, which is, I don't know, it's more than $12 million. I think it's $16 million. They can't buy Dearborn City Hall. Okay, or they won't have the money from that approach. However, they have said their spokesperson for this project in Dearborn, as quoted in the extensive article, good for you, Times Herald, has said, you know, all across the country, more than 30 different operations, many times we've had to resubmit grant applications. And we've never once not finally built the facility. Now, whether or not it was that money or they found money somewhere else, but still doesn't mean just because they were successful in the past are going to be successful this time. This would be the first time in Michigan, here in Dearborn, first time in Michigan. And Michigan is not Ohio or any other state. Okay, so things may be a little different here. Does the Michigan State Housing Development Authority have all that money? Are they rolling in cash these days? We'll see. I mean, that could certainly upset the apple cart here in Dearborn because I don't know what else you could do with that building since it's sort of historic and except tear it down and build some condos. But that's certainly an option. You know, the condos just south of that old City Hall location, I'm calling it Old City Hall now, have done pretty well. They've sold out, and I don't know if you need a City Hall building there to sell more condos. But I don't think that would be a bad location for more condos. I mean, who knows? So we'll see where that goes. Also, the intermodal train station. It's not just a train station. They call it the intermodal station. The new station for trains and other transport in West Dearborn. Its opening has been pushed back. Yeah.
Also, that would certainly explain why the grant writing classes are popular at local colleges. grant writing and how to get those grants.
Well, there's not as
accomplished.
I've done grant writing in the past and gotten a few federal grants for the college back in the 70s, early 80s, and there's a lot to learn. But there was a lot more people giving money, a lot more philanthropy. By the way, you know what the meaning of the word philanthropy is? The root core of the word philanthropy is for the good of mankind.
Very good.
Wow. Isn't that lovely?
Very nice thought, yes.
Not just for a tax credit, but for the good of mankind and womankind, too, we hope. Anyway, what is the new date for opening that station? Well, it was supposed to be next April. Now it looks like somewhere in August. So don't plan your summer vacation by a high-speed train originating out of the new track. By the way, the city had to authorize a $100,000 change order with an architectural firm, bringing the contract to slightly more than $2.5 million. Is that out of our city budget? You know, the U.S. government is paying $28 million towards the station. But I think this $2.5 million might be ours. I'm not sure where that money has come from, but it seems that other than questions, you might say, down the road towards Chicago about track being available, that Norfolk Southern, that's a railway, they asked for more space to accommodate the width of its freight cars. Got very wide freight cars. I don't know how wide they are. But and MDOT, the Michigan Department of Transportation, is considering adding a second set of tracks that will reduce the time it takes between Dearborn and Kalamazoo. Well, that's absolutely, we should have a second set. One of them should be for high speed, by the way, but I don't think that's being talked about here. But the more tracks, the better.
Certainly.
Absolutely. Yeah, if one doesn't work, you got the spare. Okay. Phlegm is accumulating in the throat, so that means we've only got 5 minutes to go before Joanne Korczynski and Highway 61 get started. The Best in the Blues from 2 to 6 p.m. today, so looking forward to that. Certainly, I know you are. Stay tuned. But of course, that station will be named when it is completed for U.S. Representative John Dingell from this area, so it'll be the Dingell Station. That's interesting because trains used to have a bell and went ding-dong, ding-dong. Well, Dingell Station. I wonder if they'll have a bell there dedicated to them that they can ring. That would be nice. No disrespect. I think that'd be cute. That's not happening quite so quickly, and that's too bad. Anything that holds back mass transit and improved mass transit is very bad for everybody. Business, you know, tourism, everything. By the way, City of Dearborn did that. Another $100,000. There you go. What you going to do? It sounds all good. It's all necessary, right? You don't want to not have Norfolk Southern bringing their train cars in, right? That'd be bad for business.
Bad for business. That's right.
Okay. Let's see what else we got here. Tonight. John, what's happening tonight? Oh, I've got it here. Where? Let's see. Times Herald. It's the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, for Pete's sake. It's going to have a big performance at the Center. We can't say Dearborn Center. No, we can't. What do I do with it? Here it is. Okay. I think it's Hungarian music. Are you going to that, John, tonight?
I am not going to be able to participate tonight.
We do have some people from WHFR going over there. We usually do at the table to welcome people and give them our newsletters.
I believe Sean will be there and possibly Cara.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cara is our promotions director here at WHFR. Say hello to them. And say thank you for helping to sponsor. Here it is, Hungarian Spirit tonight. Morris Goodman, in fact, indicated that he was going to go to a Hungarian restaurant tonight somewhere, I think Southgate, before he came to the... Because if you have the Hungarian food in your stomach, it'll help you appreciate the Hungarian music a lot better.
One of the very fine Hungarian restaurants called The Rhapsody
Southgate. That's the one he plugged.
Very fine place.
But it's not a commercial.
No.
It's just John's opinion here. Okay. And it starts at 8 p.m., folks. Okay. And it's featuring a soloist, Yi Zhu. Yi Zhu. That's Y-I and the last name Z-H-O-U on viola. And then they're going to do music by Berlioz and Bartok and Zoltán Kodály. And also, I can say the last one, Liszt, Franz Liszt. So there we go. That will be a great entertaining time. Tuneful, energetic, gutsy, and passionate. So show up there. Adults are $15 to $30. Students only $10, by the way. Take your IDs with you. What a great alternative to go into some Hollywood movie. They'll just insult your intelligence and probably gross you out. So wouldn't that be a great date? So we're going to see another horror film tonight, honey? No, we're going to the Dearborn Symphony. Ooh. Because I think movie theaters charge about $10 admission on weekends, don't they, these days? I haven't gone for a while. So, yeah. So Dearborn Symphony tonight, only about once a month, folks, so tonight's the night. Hungarian Spirit, starting at 8 p.m., and adults $15 to $30, depending on the seat you choose. Students only $10. That's a great deal. Coming up next week, let's see here. Well, here's something. Where's that winter market thing? Give that to me right here.
Okay.
As I think was announced by Dennis on the show last week, they changed the date for the opening at the center at Ford Community and Performing Arts Center of the winter market. Now, it's only going to be the third Sunday of each month, but it's like the farmers market, farmers and artisans market that was outdoors but indoors. Well, it's not going to happen this November, and that was just an update from Mary Landrosch over at the City of Dearborn today. Okay, well, yesterday, actually, technically. So Sunday, December 22nd, though, just 3 days before Christmas, they're going to have the indoor version of the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. And, of course, with that date, it's going to be 11 to 4. It's free, so check it out. No doubt there'll be a lot of special Christmas presents or, you know, edible chocolates. It's only 3 days before, and everything will be very fresh. You know, if you buy for your guests or special gifts, and it's all, it won't be totally local, they say, like local food, because it's winter time now, and not that much grows in Michigan in the winter, but it will be, it's called the Winter Market. It'll be the third Sunday of each month until the outdoor market opens again, but the first time won't be until Sunday, December 22nd, okay? 11 to 4, so check that out. What else is happening? Ah, next Friday. John, what's happening next Friday? Or do I don't think I gave you anything on that. Okay. It's the Political Issues Conference. And let me summarize that. You got it? Okay, there we go. This is free for all students, HFCC or others, or if you're a student at heart or want to learn about our political system, we're inviting all the big shots from John B. O'Reilly Jr., Mayor of Dearborn, Mayor of Dearborn Heights, Wayne County Commissioner Warrenchuk. We've invited all the elected officials, okay, all the big ones, all the biggies here. And it'll be from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. in our Andrew Mazzara Administrative Services Conference Center, ASCC building, right here on the HFCC main campus. So come on over for that, okay?